You're listening to episode 36 of the Mad Chatters podcast, June 3rd, 2015.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and as always, I'm joined by my fellow Mad Chatters and hosts, Matthew.
Bienvenidos.
And Jeremy.
Hey, I've been turned into a cow. Can I go home?
What's that from?
The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh.
I was reaching way back in the vault for that one.
So I like it. That's a good one. Okay. On today's show, we're going to be listing the five attractions at Walt Disney World that are most in need of refurbishments. Of course, this is according to our own personal opinions. But speaking of refurbishments, we have a few things to talk about that's been happening at the parks this week. And namely, that is the Great Movie Ride has seen many changes this past week. So I want to talk about those for just a minute. Were you guys able to see some of the videos and pictures that were posted of things that happened on the Great Movie Ride?
I watched all the videos I could.
I watched just the finale.
Okay, fill in the holes if I miss anything. But I saw that the sign out front has changed. Not out front. Let me go back for a moment. First, the queue, before you get to the attraction. The pre-show has now become, instead of just clips of movies and trailers of movies, it is interspersed with Robert Osborne from TCM giving commentary on these clips and trailers.
Kind of like miniature documentaries.
It kind of is. I personally like that touch.
Yes.
I don't know if you're in the queue really long enough to appreciate it, but if you watch the video online, you can get it all, and then it's easy to appreciate. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of that?
Well, the only thing watching it was that it took away, because the things that scrolled before the change, was it was like a continuous loop of the whatever the previews or trailers, you know, if that's a pretty modern word, whatever they called them back in the day, a preview. So, you know, the whole idea that you were in the Chinese theater and about to see a movie while these previews were rolling. You know, I think that's what is lost with this. But I like the refreshment, though. And then you actually go into the movies. Now, that was the thing beforehand. It's like the trailers, and then now you get to actually experience them.
If it helps, I never put that together. I never realized that that's what they were trying to do. That makes a lot of sense. But
I mean, we haven't asked Joe Rohde about it, but yeah. That's what I'm getting.
He would probably agree with you. That makes a lot of sense. I thought it was kind of neat, especially since I saw the clip where he was talking about Footlight Parade, and that's the one movie where everyone says, what is this? I mean, I know they explain
it on
the attraction.
Well, I think that's the one big advantage to this, is that all these kind of obscure, well, they're not all obscure movies, but there are certainly a lot of old ones that you know, people might not connect to. And seeing those previews, the way previews used to be, it was just kind of like, well, what is that even about? So I think that his inclusion of the talking gives people a little background that's helpful for the ride.
The
pendulum has kind of swung as far as previews go, because now previews in some ways tell you way too much about the movies, whereas back in the day it's like John Wayne in the greatest adventure ever, and you're like, oh, he's on a horse.
But the irony behind that whole thing is they told you less about what the movie was, but they showed you so much clips like at once, like long extended portions. It's like, what is even happening?
No, that's a good point.
Like, he's riding the horse, now he's kissing the girl, he's shooting the gun.
Join us for Lonesome Dove. Well, there was just no narration. They didn't do a lot of that narration back then, like during the actual...
In a world.
Yeah, in a
where
world.
Where horses are ridden by men. Yeah. Anyway, so we've gone through the queue, and now we get to what I was talking about. The sign, quote-unquote, out front of the attraction has changed. It used to say, I don't even remember, Journey into the Movies, and now it says a celebration something something something. Minor change. Okay, so then you go to the ride, and apparently the host is still there. Not the host, what's he called, the guy on the attraction who's leading you, your guide,
the skipper.
No.
It's a guide.
Your guide. But his narration is mixed in with, once again, Robert Osborne, who comes on and gives some narration in between.
But that's not so much, that's not really new. I mean, voice obviously is, but the old guy would announce that he said various things, like the little movie announcer guy.
Yeah, I guess
not
he did.
Not your guy, but the recording, you're with Indiana Jones or whatever.
I think he says even more now, because the guy did not even say, oh, my favorite genre is horror. There were a few lines I specifically noticed were gone.
Yeah, they pretty much like cut the live guy pretty much in half as far as what he does.
There was one line I was so confused by when they get to the Western scene and there's the big shootout. Like while it's going down, the guy says, "I think it's time for a visit to the concession stand. Bye." Has he always said that?
No,
I didn't even get it. I was like, "Shh, I'm trying to watch this shootout."
Does he leave during that time though? Because that's usually when he leaves.
You know, no. It was the speaker. It was Robert Osborne saying it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was so strange. No, the guy never said anything like that before.
No, it was very weird. And you're still sitting there, like you don't even move when he says it. So.
Oh, you know what happened? Really, the pre-recorded guy only ever showed up after that scene happened and the gangster or the robber was on board, and he didn't narrate, but then that's when the guy took over, and all he really did was say the thing about aliens and then Raiders of the Lost Ark. Those are the only two he ever announced.
Yeah, so there's definitely more of that now than there ever has been before. Okay, but then the next big change was, of course, the finale montage has changed, which we knew that was going to happen. So what do you guys think of that, the new montage?
It felt very familiar.
Yeah, they used a lot of the same clips.
Some of the same music was used. I love the Monsters, Inc. But didn't have you instrumental in there.
Hey, they kept my favorite movie score of all time, and that is the Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yes.
So I was happy about that, because just when I that score right there, I am in the great movie ride when I hear it. Like, I'm instantly there, and so I'm glad. But I did notice, too, that what's this guy's name? Robert Altman? Is that his name?
Osborne.
I don't get out much. Anyways, I did notice that he says Disney's Hollywood Studios throughout the narration as well. So I don't know if they decided to film two separate tracks, maybe, of him saying Disney's Hollywood Adventures or whatever they're going to change the park name to.
Probably did.
But I thought that was interesting.
I noticed that as well. I did notice glaringly that Frozen had made its way into the finale montage.
Yes.
Yeah, I was a little...
Well, it did, to be fair, make movie history, so...
It's true.
It belongs in there, albeit nauseatingly so.
Yeah. And they kept a lot more Star Trek than I thought as well. I thought with Star Wars being the new Disney property and being a big deal going to be hopefully in the new Hollywood studios... that I was surprised they kept as much Star Trek.
You know what was a really good part was the new horror thing. I'm not a big horror fan, but I always thought the 2 seconds they devoted to horror in the old one was terrible. I like the one with the, I think it's Tubular Bells from The Exorcist that's playing.
Oh, okay.
Which is a very frightening movie, but the music is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about it being familiar. I almost thought that they would completely change it. But there are several of the one-liners that they had before they've kept.
Like the finale of the finale with all the movies just constantly scrolling. Yeah,
the
I think that
screens.
They must have listened to our episode of a long time ago when we talked about... I think it was actually my idea to not to toot my own horn, to have the little screens and the movies projected on them.
Okay, it's kind of coming back to me.
Yeah.
It was also the cheapest and the easiest idea, so that's probably why they went with it as well. Yeah.
Hey, that's my middle name.
Did you guys have any other thoughts about the changes that came to the Great Movie Ride?
Well, I saw some people complaining online, like, they didn't change anything in the attraction. Well, it's like, no duh, dummies. To change actual animatronics and stuff like that, that would take a lot longer than what is, you know, given. Yeah. So give it time. Maybe in the future we'll get an overhaul, but for now I'll take these little changes as we can go.
Yeah, I agree.
As we can get to them.
I'd agree. And I think anything that cuts down on the guide speaking is a good change, to be honest, at this point. So.
Hey, ta-da. did they add the animated movie posters? Did I see that right?
Yes. Throughout the queue, there are posters that switch back and forth between being a movie poster that kind of, like, they're not so much animated as, like, they kind of glisten.
I thought I saw some wheels turning on.
But, yeah, but then they switch between that and just the TCM logo of the Great Movie Ride.
Okay.
And then back to the movie. So that is one change, yeah. But anyway, well, we have some more things to talk about that happened this week. Just real quick, the orange bird, which disappeared when the Sunshine Tree Terrace and the Aloha Isle switched places and was promised that it would return, has finally returned. So, Jeremy, you can breathe a sigh of relief. Your orange bird is back.
I have returned, Darkanon.
That's a connection that you would never put together.
Well, I was glad to see he was back.
Yes, yeah, we were all very excited to see him.
How is he back? I didn't see that.
Well, he's actually physically in the location, like a little orange bird inside. But they've also released new art for Sunshine Tree Terrace, and they're selling it as a T-shirt for a limited time only.
I see.
So, go get that.
Maybe they fixed their sign. That sign's been crooked since they switched.
I saw someone was at Hollywood Studios yesterday, and they tweeted, "There is tons of orange bird plushes at Hollywood Studios for sales," which I thought was interesting as well. So, yeah.
Well, go get your orange bird. Yep. And the only other piece of news I had was they have announced that the Villain Spectacular this year at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party will, I'm guessing this is replacing the Villains Mix and Mingle, but it will be sort of the same idea, but it will be hosted by the three witches that are in Hocus Pocus. So those of you like me who thought that Hocus Pocus would never appear again in the Disney parks, I'm sorry, but you were wrong.
What a reach.
Yeah.
It really is interesting.
It still comes on ABC Family every Halloween, and it's kind of one of those Halloween go-tos.
Every weekend.
But it's a long time ago, and it wasn't like, it gained a cult following, if we could even say that.
I like it.
Yeah, but it does seem kind of obscure. I'm totally happy with it, but I was very surprised when I saw that.
Listen, I would rather have that than, the next option would have been like, Olaf's Bubble and Trouble Toiling, Party.
Double, something. Bubble and Trouble. That sounds whatever like that a is. Bad bubble bath time. Olaf gets sent to prison for pedophilia.
Oh, my word.
Bubble Trouble. That's Olaf.
That is scary.
Anyways.
Now, okay. Jeremy, you said you had a piece of news that you wanted to discuss, too. I'm curious.
There was the Disney Twitterverse was all a flutter this week as news came that Tron 3 was canceled, which had been in production. I'm sure that you all have seen Tron or Tron Legacy. Have you seen it?
I've seen the original Tron, not Tron Legacy.
I have seen none of the above.
Really? Okay. I've seen both, obviously. And the original Tron, again, it's dated and it's a little difficult to watch because it is so dated. But you got to respect it and love the universe that it opens up. Tron Legacy, even though it's not my favorite movie, I still enjoy it. I mean, it's a great movie. And again, it expanded kind of this whole, universe of characters and storylines that were interesting and unique. I didn't see Tron Uprising, which was the cartoon series that was based on that came after Tron Legacy on Disney XD. But I hope to one day. But anyways, everybody was kind of excited and looking forward to Tron 3, but it got canned. Speculation is it got canned because Tomorrowland did not do as well.
I was just going to say that.
At the box office, which is sad because, just give you a couple numbers. Tron Legacy, 2010, it was released. It had a budget of $170 million.
Whoa.
And its opening weekend, it was projected to make between $40 and $50 million. It made $43.6 million, so it didn't disappoint. Its total box office revenue was $400 million. So it definitely made money for the company.
Yeah.
Now compare that with Tomorrowland. Its budget was $190 million, $20 million more. It still had a box office opening on Memorial Day weekend of $42.7 million. But that was the lowest Memorial Day weekend since Prince of Persia. So
Wait, for Disney or any movie?
For Disney.
Oh, I was like, that's sad that Disney has the record for both of those.
No, for Disney. That's, and then, you know, other films that it's compared to for Memorial Day weekend openings would have been Maleficent and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. But thus far, Tomorrowland has made $133.7 million at the box office. So clearly
in
it's
the US?
Going to make money. I think that's total worldwide sales thus far. So, you know, I don't know as far as if it has opened everywhere around the world. You know, sometimes those openings are delayed by like a month or so.
Maybe, but I don't want to watch a lot of TV. Do you think that Disney is not doing a good job at advertising their films?
I've noticed marketing, people complaining about marketing lately for films like Tomorrowland. And a lot of people are complaining about the marketing for Inside Out, which is coming up, that they're not doing as good of a job as far as making the film look.
I'm not very excited about that one.
Oh, I'm super excited about it.
I'm only excited because I've heard things from critics and, you know, that it got a standing ovation over in Cannes and all these kind of things. So my point is...
Cannes?
Isn't that what it is?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I don't think it's Cannes. Isn't it Cannes? The Cannes Festival? I don't know.
But they don't say their asses.
In France.
No, I think it's the Cannes Film Festival. Cannes Film Festival, right?
The Cannes Film Festival.
Not Cannes.
Cannes, whatever. Cannes,
anyway,
Cannes.
Over in France, yeah. It got very good.
It's
over getting
there
very good
with
reviews.
The French people. Anywho, it's just sad to me because these, at its core, these are interesting movies. I think, or at least have interesting possibilities. I think the world of Tron has so much potential, you know, and it has potential, I think, for theme parks. It has potential for other, you know, movies and storylines and things. And instead of that, we're going to get, you know, McFarland USA or whatever that is. So,
what is that? Is that some sports thing?
Yeah, that was that one about the sports, about the Indian baseball players or something.
No, it was not. That was Million Dollar Arm.
That's the Million Dollar Arm.
McFarland USA was the runners. Okay.
Listen, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Is Kevin Costner in it?
Mm-hmm. Yes and yes.
I don't think it was the trailers that hurt Tomorrowland. I think it's the reviews. Because if you remember, I mean, Disney's had a really bad track record with trailers. Like the Frozen trailers, I thought looked terrible. And then look how much money that made because of the good reviews and the word of mouth. I mean, that personally for me, I was going to see it opening weekend. And then when I saw the bad reviews, I was like, I don't really want to spend money on that now. So,
well, I do. The tragedy of our lifetime was the Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah. Those trailers look terrible.
And I enjoyed the movie a lot.
I was going to say, I saw the movie. I thought the movie was like 45 minutes too long. You could cut, you know, cut it. And
that's
it,
true.
I thought it was pretty decent myself. The Lone Ranger, I think people were determined to hate it before it even came out.
Yes.
There was that group that said, this is going to be bad and we're going to hate it no matter what. And so, any flaw in it, they exploited to the extreme.
Yeah. Well, anyway, regardless of the reason, Tron 3, sorry if you're excited, it is no more.
Just two other things I wanted to mention and get your reaction to. The one of the other big main news items for this week is Jay Rasulo, who is the CFO of Disney, resigned. Did you all have any thoughts about that?
I didn't even know about that or what that was till today, so no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is why it's interesting to me, and then we can move on. And that is, he was mainly in charge and one of the driving forces behind the Magic Bands and the My Magic Plus experience. And so it's very interesting that the guy who really kind of led that charge is leaving.
Well,
the company.
The one thing I did read about it was that it was completely expected, as if they hired him just for that, and he was like, "That's my one project, and I'm done."
Well, no, you said, but the one thing I saw was that
I didn't say that. I read that.
But the one thing I saw too said that he expected to get the position. I think COO, that now Tom Staggs has, and he was kind of supposed to be the heir apparent to get that one because whoever that is apparently is supposed to get the next step after Iger steps down.
Oh.
And because he didn't get that. But maybe he didn't get that because of the whole Magic Band thing. I don't know. But it was interesting.
Or
and
he's
the
going Universal.
Oh, it could be. The fanboy community was certainly excited because there seems to be a lot of hatred towards him. Another thing I read, a lot of people don't like him because he really was another driving force of this, like, one Disney company kind of thing that gave us, like, Disney. Generic merchandise. It's Disney Parks. It's not Disneyland, not Disney World, you know, those kind of things. So, anywho.
That's
and,
falling already.
Well, good. So, goodbye, Jay. See you at Universal or wherever you go. Six Flags.
See you at Universal with the Express Band.
And did you all see the new teaser for The Good Dinosaur that came out today?
Yes, yeah. I joke that there's now a dinosaur movie I'm excited about in 2015. No.
Oh, what about Jurassic World?
I know. I'm excited about it, but the trailers hurt me a little bit.
They
Sorry.
Are kind of hurtful. They kind of look fakey.
Well, and the dialogue. But anyway, yes, The Good Dinosaur. Yeah. I'm excited.
I kind of want to watch The Land Before Time now. It kind of took me back to that Land Before Time feel.
I don't think you can really make an animated movie about dinosaurs and not at least copy parts of The Land Before Time, you know? But we'll see. We'll see.
We shall see.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and kick this off by chatting a bit about something Disney-related or something that just made you think of Disney that you did this week.
The Disney Fix.
Ah. Matt, why don't you start?
Okay. Mine, again, is scent-related, and I just can't help but go there in my head when I think about Disney magic, because one of the first things that strikes you at Walt Disney World is a smell. And that can be good or bad. There are certain things that you smell that you immediately think, Disney World. And that can range anywhere from a clean citrusy smell to the mixture of like hot asphalt and body odor. All of that can bring that to mind. So I'm going to go to scent again. And again, I'm going to make a plug for Bath and Body Works.
Ha ha ha, plug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it is a plug. I don't know if they're in cahoots with people at Disney or not. Because, like, people would go crazy to buy these things, but I'm telling you, someone's in on the Disney secrets smells, and they're giving them to Bed Bath & Beyond, but Bath & Body Works. The newest one that has come out is called Black Sands. They've had White Sands for a while. I don't like it. Black Sands, however...
I love how knowledgeable you are about all of these scents.
Well, we go, when Jessica and I go to pick out our wallflower, that's their plug-in, you know, things at Bath & Body Works. We spend about 30 minutes, like, wine tasting each smell.
All the candles?
Yeah, we kind of waft them in our... I'm getting the teak wood on there. On them. No. This one is everything good... about the Norway Pavilion, the gift shop. That perfume that you smell, what is it called, Jeremy? Do you know?
Layla?
Yeah, something like that. That's the smell. And it's a nice, clean smell. The perfume is a little much. You know what does smell good is those candles, but they are like $24 to $54, depending on what size you order. If you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, Bath & Body Works, and get the... Black Sands Wallflower. And I'm going to assume the candle is just as good. It's what is in my office right now. Whoop. It is in our living room at the house. And it's just all that goodness, clean smell from the Norway Pavilion.
I feel like you need to release a line of Disney Scents by Matthew. They would fly off the shelves.
Well, I only have the two now, but it's growing. Like every time I smell it, this smells like, you know, whatever. Soren and out Norway.
Perfect.
Yeah. I look forward to smelling your living room next time I visit.
Things I never thought I'd hear Jeremy say.
I was actually in when you came last, but you were kind of like, you know.
I was a little out of it.
Paralyzed.
Sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Good to know.
I'll go next.
Anywho.
I kind of have two. Just real briefly, I mentioned a few weeks ago that I was seeing Newsies, and I did this week. And I really enjoyed it even more than I thought I would. So if you have kids, if you don't have kids, if you enjoy high-energy shows with lots of humor and a good story, go check out Newsies. Lots of good dancing. But the one I really wanted to talk about, have you seen this line of merchandise that Vans is doing? They're partnering with Disney.
Like the shoe company?
Yeah, Vans.
No.
Well, yeah, mostly shoes, but they sell other things too. And so I think it's this week. I think it's June 6th that they're releasing it to Vans Atlas stores across the country. I'll post some pictures of this stuff on the show notes, but they've got slip-ons with like Winnie the Pooh all over it and Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. They've got some tank tops, which I can't really pull off a tank top, but if you can, go get this because it's really cool. But the thing I'm interested in, and this is so not me at all, but I saw it and I was like, I kind of want that, is a short sleeve button up, and it's just got little Donald Ducks all over it. And he's got like his angry face, and outside of each Donald is a speech bubble coming from his mouth, and it's just punctuation marks, like a pound sign and an exclamation point and a question mark exclamation point. And it's really funny, and I want this shirt. So look at your nearest Vans outlet.
I see it.
Yeah?
Derek, I could have taken every last cent that I owned and bet that you would never be interested in this shirt.
I know. And I might see it in the store and be like, yeah, never mind. Because, like I said, it is not me at all.
This one, right?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Oh, my gosh. listen, this is too much for me. And that's saying something. So.
You got to wear it with the right stuff. I mean, I'm not going to wear it with, like, plaid pants or something, you know. Anyway,
but
that was something I saw online last week, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since.
So did you see it, Matt?
I was looking for it. I don't think I see the one he's talking about. I do see a Donald Duck sailor shirt that would look just appropriate on you.
Oh, boy.
Well, Derek, Christmas is coming, so there you go. Mm-hmm.
Is it?
In, like, 7 months.
My Disney fix is something that I'm planning to do all summer long, and I say I'm going to do this and that I never do, but I finally am biting the bullet now, especially that I'm saying it on the podcast. Maybe you all can help keep me accountable, and that is, this summer I'm planning to watch
we'll pray
all of that sounded like a smoker laugh, but I just had to. Anyways, keep me accountable because I am planning on watching all of my Disney films this summer. I have a lot of Disney films on my collection, and some of them, you know, you watch once and then you never get back around to watching them again. And I always think I should go through and just start from the beginning and go through them. And then, you know how life is. You never have time, or you start and you don't finish. But summertime is a great time to do it because I don't watch a lot of TV, except Big Brother. But other than that, there's nothing else really on. So I have enough time. And so I'm going to start with Snow White and do all the animated first and then do all the Pixar. And then I may stop there because summer's not quite over yet. By the time I finish, I'll move on to some of the live action as well.
Wow.
So there we go. And it's just a nice way to end the day. You know, just watching a Disney film doesn't get much better than that. So.
Does it count if it's playing while you're kind of in and out of a nap?
Yeah, I'll count that.
Okay, good.
Okay.
You know, and when I do this, I usually watch Golden Girls on Hallmark when I go to bed at night, but I'll probably end up doing this every night, kind of dozing off to a Disney film. So, you know, some of them you stay up.
So when fall comes, you're going to have like all day marathons of Golden Girls to make up for all the time you missed.
Oh,
well, absolutely. You can't do it on Hallmark because come October, they play 24/7 Christmas
movies.
Junk
in
until
October?
January.
Yeah,
like the day after Halloween. It's 2 months of nothing but their original, not even good, but original Hallmark Christmas movie.
Starring like Dean Cain and Candace Cameron
Bure. Yeah.
Anyways, but thankfully we have the Golden Girls on DVD, so I'll be okay.
Oh, good, good. Well, good luck with that challenge. That's cool. I hope you complete it.
Thank you. Maybe I'll even put a blog out on the madchatters.net one of these days about it.
We can talk
probably
about
not,
that
but
later.
Maybe.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and review a restaurant. We haven't done this in a while, so let's do a little bit of eating around the world. Now, Matt, you actually first introduced Jeremy and me to this restaurant, so I feel it only appropriate that you describe where we're going today on our podcast.
On our very first trip as well. This
true.
Was
and it was our very back. First restaurant, wasn't it? Wasn't it our first Ooh. Night?
I don't know. I can't remember that.
I think it was.
Maybe.
We're going to go to the Magic Kingdom and then get on a resort launch boat, because that's the only way to get here in style, out to the Wilderness, the Wilderness Lodge Resort, Disney's Wilderness Lodge Resort, on the beautiful shores of Bay Lake, to a little restaurant we call the Whispering Canyon Cafe.
Hmm. Named ironically.
I was just about to say that. It is the farthest thing from a whisper.
Oh, no. This was one of those, to me, this is one of those places that you just have to go, like, on your first trip. And it could become a regular thing, like it kind of is for me. But it's some people just hate it, which I think one of us will give a testimony to.
Explain why you have to go there.
Because, and it's all nostalgic for me. Growing up, it was just one of those things we did was Whispering Canyon. And that was like, you know, my mom and dad, our family, aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and stuff. We go take that boat out there. The best thing about it is just...
We go take that boat out there.
We took the boat out there. And first of all, when you take that boat out to the Wilderness Lodge, they drop you off at that little dock. And you get the most picturesque walk up through that little bayou area up to the lodge. It's just perfect. And then you can leave there at night, take the boat back to the Magic Kingdom.
I would argue that the boat ride is the best part about this restaurant.
Oh, yes, certainly. The boat ride atmosphere setting of everything is the best thing about this restaurant.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you agree.
Well, it's interesting, too, that the Wilderness Lodge is not that far away geographically. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at, like, when we were on the top of the Contemporary a couple weeks ago, like, it's right there.
Oh, yeah.
But it feels worlds away. Like, it feels so far away.
Like, and you're in the wilderness.
Really, you feel like you've done gone to Canada.
A lodge, even. And this...
Tell them Marty sent you.
Restaurant.
Wait, hold on. Let's talk about the Wilderness Lodge for a second, because I think you're about to say this, but the restaurant is right there in the lobby. So you see this gorgeous lobby that's themed to, I mean, the wilderness.
The
really.
American Northwest.
And the music that's playing is like the, what's the...
Copeland.
Yes. What's his most famous?
Appalachian Spring.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking, but sure. All that kind of stuff is playing.
The pork and beef songs. Everybody knows that.
Oh. Yeah. Ride of the Calvary? Is that
what
you're thinking?
You mean Flight of the Valkyrie? That's
what is going on?
Anyway, it's
epic
all that kind of stuff.
Orchestral music. Yes, national parks feeling, you know. Yellowstone.
It's got the really... it's just got this woodsy feel with the nice totem poles and the polished wood. It's really nice. So I will give that to this restaurant. It has that going for it, for sure. Of course, if you're looking for a quiet lobby to hang out in, probably not the best place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this place used to be very much like Ohana, where it was a one order, everybody gets the same thing, and it was the family skillet, which was like... You know, you started out with the salad and bread, cornbread, the salad that had that delicious apple cider vinaigrette on it, and then everyone ate together family style off of a Lazy Susan skillet with, like, barbecue ribs, chicken, brisket, corn on the cob, slaw, baked beans, all that stuff, and it was great. And they used to have really terrific varieties of sauces, one of which was, like, some kind of honey, soy, ginger barbecue sauce that was the best stuff on the planet. Since then, they've simplified that. You no longer get the sauces. There's like one standard barbecue sauce. You may still order the all-you-can-eat skillet with the barbecue and all that stuff, and all that same food. But they also have an expanded menu now that has, you know, like grilled chicken and fish and pasta and stuff like that.
So I'm guessing when you go, you still always order the skillet.
I typically do, just because it's kind of that's what I go there for.
Yeah,
if I was out there for pasta or salmon.
I think the skillet is $30, which honestly, when you think table service restaurants at Disney World, $30 for all you can eat is pretty reasonable compared to some of their buffets and things like that. So that's what I would do if I went. And, you know, I did enjoy the food. I've been there twice now, and I will say the skillet is good. And if you're looking for an atmosphere that the kids will love and that you're going to get involved and get to kind of talk back to your waiter and have a little fun with them. And they do you know, they give you the wooden horse stick thing and you get to ride it around the room. And
if it's your birthday.
No, they let the kids do that.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's really
yeah, they do. It's just a loud restaurant.
It's just you go there
because nothing whispering about it.
One of the things they do is when they carry out the trays of food, they stomp them along the ground as if they're horses clomping.
It's just kind of loud. It could be considered obnoxious if you weren't in the mood for this kind of place. I would compare it to those kind of restaurants. Now, it's certainly not on that level, and it's certainly not the same material as like Dick's Last Resort or what's the other one that's kind of the people that kind of the waiters and waitresses are rude to you.
Ed DeBevick's?
Yeah, that place. So Dick's Last Resort or Ed DeBevick's, is that what mm-hmm. you said? It's not like that. The humor is not crude, and it's not dirty, and they're not necessarily just, like, rude to you, but they do kind of talk back, like, throw the straws at you. There's yeah. several gags that I will not give away that go on through the night if you ask or request certain things or say the wrong thing. One thing that happened that was hilarious was I think it was our first time. Wasn't it, Jeremy?
Yes.
We kept ordering more Coke. I think we were both drinking Coke.
Because they bring it out in mason jars.
Yeah, little mason jar cups. And we ordered so much, the dude eventually brought us a huge mason jar. I don't know, like the size of a...
Like a gallon, like a probably.
Jar. Like a big cookie jar thing filled with Coke and two straws.
It was our first time, because the second time we went, you guys actually mentioned the jar. And he said, oh, we don't do that anymore. And we all laughed, and he said... It's not funny.
It said it spilled on somebody.
It spilled on somebody.
And we laughed. He's like, it's not funny, sir.
Because I was like, just give me the big jar from the beginning.
Yes.
But anywho.
Yeah, that's a big no.
But Derek had a nice time there because we went on our second trip. It was his birthday.
Yes.
And so he got to
it
ride
It happened
the
to
stick
be another
horse.
Young lady's birthday, too.
That's
Didn't
right.
Didn't y'all ride on the same stick horse?
Same stick horse.
I think we did.
I think you
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Because that's not awkward at all.
No, I think they just stood side by side and each held the stick horse.
I blocked it out of my memory, but I do remember weird. Being not my favorite. I will say, this might have been a fluke, so I don't want to just cross them off my list quite yet. Oh, well, let's face it, I've already crossed them off my list. But both times we went, I seem to remember us waiting long after our reservation was set for, especially the first time. I think it was like 45 minutes after our reservation before they finally seated us. So I don't know if, like I said, if that's a fluke or if that's just one of those restaurants that it's hard to get people out of there. I don't know.
Depending on what you want. If you want to be in the middle of the action, you know, children racing around you with wooden horses and all this stuff going on, and it's a little louder, request to sit in the main dining hall. Now, if you want a... You can't have a quiet experience. If you want a somewhat more secluded experience, you can ask for one of the places off to the side. There are several kind of halfway walls that kind of separate certain sections that get you away from the center of everything. You can ask for those. You might have to wait a little longer, but they're away from the center of the action. So.
But as far as these restaurants go where it's kind of family serving, you know, everybody eats off the same plate kind of a thing, I think this is probably the third best after Ohana and Liberty Tree Tavern.
Aren't there like three?
I know. How many of these places are there?
No, what about the Garden Grill is that
oh,
way?
Terrible.
And that the Hawaiian Show is that way.
Oh, that's a dinner show.
That's
though.
A show, though, yeah.
I'm talking about it.
And like Matt said, that's just one menu item is the skillet. So everything else is a la carte. But
I just, you know, I'm just saying they say they have good food. If you enjoy good barbecue,
I do like the food. Yes, and it's all hearty portions. No matter what you order, you're going to get plenty of food to eat.
I don't remember that gentleman's name,
Frank.
But there's an older. Oh yeah, Frank was our waiter. Yes, but there's an older gentleman that kind of helps run the front of the house operations.
Uh-huh.
And he's been there forever. He's just a little old guy. He's got glasses. I never see his name. I should look at his name. It's one of those odd things where you come back, you know, when I used to go like once every year or every other year or something, like the pianist on Main Street, and it's the same guy that's been there for 20-something years.
Yeah,
It's
the pianist on Main Street, he looks like Scooter the Muppet from
yes, he does.
Doesn't he? I always thought that.
There are worse Muppets to look like, I guess, than Scooter.
Yeah, kind of like that Rick Moranis Scooter hybrid.
If you want the Wilderness Lodge experience... You can still take the boat. You can still go to the resort. You can still see everything. and you want a quieter, nicer experience, there is Artist Point at the Wilderness Lodge, which I've never eaten at, so I cannot review. But I hear it that it's excellent. But it is a signature restaurant, slightly more expensive. So you can get all this for cheaper with a bright, loud, fun atmosphere
at Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Was, antics.
When I was a kid, I used to love the Humphrey the Bear shorts. We used to watch those in school, in elementary school at sometimes. Oh, and Humphrey is the main mascot of the Wilderness Lodge. So you can go there. And
that dude, what's his name? The park ranger dude.
Show yes, me. I don't remember his name. You know.
Smokey.
No, he's like, he kind of was a little Elmer Fuddish in his appearance.
He was on a lot of like the Disney, the little educational ones.
Yeah, with the owl, Professor Owl or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. Whispering Canyon.
Cafe.
Today we are counting down our five attractions that we think are most in need of refurbishments. Now, I feel like before we start this list, we should give a disclaimer that we do, in fact, love Disney World. And that's why we go as often as we do. But, you know, with everything you love, there are little parts that you wish you could change just to make it all that much better. All the more better. All the better.
We should also point out that this list also is not... Hold on. Let me try that again.
I know what you're saying.
Say it.
And you're right. These are... We've talked a lot about attractions that we would be okay if they left Disney World completely. These are not those. These are attractions that are salvageable and that we love and don't want to see go away. But they just need a little bit of loving from Disney World.
And a change, maybe. A tiny changes.
Exactly.
Not something like Tomorrowland Speedway that just needs to go all the way.
Right. That is not on my list because it needs to go. You're right. Yeah. So that is what we are discussing today. So Jeremy, why don't you start with your number five attraction that needs to change and tell us why it needs to change.
Well, my number five is something that I've actually mentioned before, so I won't spend too much time on it, but it was worth noting. And that is Ellen's Energy Adventure in Future World at in Epcot. And I've mentioned before, I would love to see Ellen and Bill Nye return and update this attraction to be more relevant to the modern world of energy. And I've said it and I'll say it again, even though I got judged for it last time, I would love to see Neil deGrasse Tyson join in on the fun because he is a fun personality as well. So Ellen's Energy Adventure, I'd even keep the same structure as far as, you know, the show at the beginning, the show at the end, some kind of ride through in the middle. But again, those animatronics, I mean, the only AA that is worse than the Ellen AA in that ride is the Sigourney Weaver in Great Movie Ride, you know? So
her sprinkler head.
Yeah. Yeah, the kind of turning.
Jerks back and does it again. Yeah. Jerks back and does it again.
But, you know, I mean, just like, you know, this attraction was built when Ellen had her sitcom. She's way bigger now than she was back then. And Bill Nye, I mean
we
show,
don't have to talk about her weight. Gosh.
Bill Nye was big, you know, back in the day, and he's kind of resurged within recent years as well. And so I think it would be nice to upgrade that, update that. And you could even bring back Jamie Lee Curtis if you wanted to. So sure. Matt has something to oogle at.
What?
Didn't you say you were attracted to her or something last time we talked about this?
No.
That was Judy Dench.
Matt, I have a strange fascination with Jodie Foster.
Oh,
I don't know.
Well,
Jamie Lee Curtis.
She does not have a strange
fascination
with you.
It's just, I like her. I echo your sentiments on Ellen's Energy Adventure, except I would love to see it overdone with Michelle Bachman and Ken Ham. I'd also settle for Sarah Palin or is it Michelle Bachman?
What number was this on your list?
It's not.
It's not on your list at all?
Oh, no. I'd keep Mike Tyson in there, though. I like that one.
My list, I put Ellen's Energy Adventure at number 3 because this was an opening day attraction for Epcot. Universe of Energy was. And the dinosaurs, the animatronic dinosaurs, were part of that. And so I feel like it would be really cool if you could keep them, even as part of a just historical thing, which I know normally I don't care about history, and if it needs to go, it needs to go. But I really like those dinosaurs. I remember the first time I saw it just being like, ooh, there are dinosaurs in here. This is really cool. And
so I feel like 64 World's Fair, you know? It echoes to that.
Exactly. And so I feel like that part should stay, and I feel like this attraction should stay. But I think this could be a really big part in bringing Future World back to a really cool state. I think Test Track was kind of the start of that. And I think Ellen's Energy Adventure, like you said, Jeremy, could even keep the same, even down to the same celebrities and the same story, but it just needs an update, but stay at its core the same.
Minus Kramer. Don't bring him back.
Oh, I forgot he was even in it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, caveman.
It's like, it's the weirdest. He's in it for like a second as a caveman. It's just enough that you go, is that Kramer?
Right.
No,
right.
That wasn't Kramer. Anyways.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, what was your number 5?
My list, had I made it before a week ago, would have been different. But my number 5 starts because of something I just noticed writing this with Jeremy on our adventure to the Magic Kingdom last Friday. And that is the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I think the ride needs to stay. Winnie the Pooh has an obvious place in Fantasyland. It's a good representation of him. I love the remodeled queue and the tree and the lanterns and even some of the interactive things that just are, you know, are different. But when you get on the ride, more so than any other ride that I've been on in recent times, it seems that there's a lot that just needs touching up. I don't know. All animatronics seem to work. It's just the thing seems... some of the paint on the facades.
Oh, okay.
Some of the audio is terrible.
Yeah.
Around, like, the Tigger scene where Oh, it's really muffled and bad.
Some of the doors, you know, the classic dark ride, like swinging doors, were just faded. There were scratches on stuff. And it just looked really shoddy last time. And I think one big change they could do just to give it an overall new feel is to give it that trackless feel that the Tokyo, it's not the Tokyo version, it's a complete, I think it's a different attraction altogether, kind of.
Yeah.
But just to give it that, you could still give it the Pooh's Honey Hunt. You could still give it the trackless vehicles that kind of turned and you know, zigzag through the thing, that would make it seem kind of high-tech and kind of new. I don't know. The facades on the outside with just the, I don't know. It's like they just slapped it together after Toad was shut down. And like the story, if you look closely on the outside, the storybook pages, you can see there's like, they like made two pieces and pieced them together. You can see clearly the line down between it.
Oh, I see.
And it's just, everything about it just seems kind of shoddy. For an otherwise charming attraction.
Well, and they changed the facade not too long ago, and the facade is great. It's one of the,
it is nice.
It's one of my favorites in Magic Kingdom.
It blends perfectly between that new Fantasyland feel and the courtyard feel.
Yeah. So to change the inside would be nice.
Just a general refresh.
Okay.
I actually liked the word you used in our reminder today about what the subject matter was. I think you used the word reform. Didn't you? Which attractions need reform?
I don't think so.
We needed a reformation. Who will be the Martin Luther for Winnie the Pooh?
I will go tape these 5 theses to Cinderella's door.
Yes. Oh.
Okay, my number 5, I wanted to put higher, but I just couldn't. But it is on my list, and it is Expedition Everest. Because that Yeti needs some attention.
Oh my.
I will say the attraction is still very good. And still very enjoyable. Yep. But without the Yeti, which is what they advertise as like the biggest part about this attraction, and it was so state-of-the-art, without it, it's very similar to other roller coasters. I mean, earlier in another podcast, you talked about how all the signs in Disney World don't just call it a roller coaster. They say a roller coaster type ride or roller coaster like ride. And it is that. It's not quite a roller coaster. But without the Yeti, it comes very close to just being your average roller coaster. And I think that Yeti makes such a difference. And so I'd really love for them to bring it back to its original glorious state where it moves and swings its arm. And I don't know.
But it's really depressing when the... how old is that thing? 56-year-old Matterhorn has more state-of-the-art animatronics than a not-yet 10-year-old attraction at Walt Disney World.
Well, and in such good Disney fashion, they really do a great job of leading up to that final reveal. Where, you know, you're going up and the track's ripped up and then, you know, you're in the cave and you see the shadow. And so it all builds to you actually coming face-to-face with the Yeti. But the way it is now, so many people ride it and they don't even see the Yeti.
Right,
and that's such a shame. So, you know, you got to fix it where it is the draw and your eye just goes to it. You know, and when it was in its former glory, that's the way it was. Now it just kind of hangs there and it almost looks like part of the rock work in a
space. Yeah. This is number two on my list, by the way. So I echo that. Not quite the most important on my list. I think we might share that one together, but the Yeti, certainly, and Expedition Everest, high up there.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get to our number fours, Jer.
Number four. My number four is an attraction, again, like Expedition Everest, that is loved and just needs some upgrades, and that is Dinosaur.
Yes! That's my number four.
Okay. The reason I say this, one is in the offload, and this connects, I guess, to the pre-show in a sense, but that final reveal scene where you've brought the dinosaur back with you is so 1998. Like, as far as the animation, it looks like something that was in a computer game for, you know, Windows 98 that you played in your classroom. It's that very stale, you know, sharp edges, and the dinosaur just looks terrible. So that's a good place to start. Just if you're going to still keep that theme.
Speaking of that, I don't think that we mentioned this in our countdown to Park Extinction Animal Kingdom 1998, but I never knew this until that time. Those mirrors that you see there at the end, you know, when you turn around the corner before you see the TV monitor, there's a big, I mean, like, full-size wall-shaped mirror that you see your vehicle in, like, full-out mirror, was supposed to have a Pepper's Ghost effect that featured the dinosaur following you.
But now, that would make a million more
It did not work sense. Out, and they never revisited it.
Well, you would think they'd be able to do that now, especially think about the way the ending of Haunted Mansion is now.
Yeah.
Where they have, you know, they can switch guest faces on their bodies. So you'd think now they'd be able to do something like that where you could put a realistic looking dinosaur on the back of your car and how awesome that would be. And it would make sense because when he says, look, you brought back a visitor, you know, unless you actually look at the screen, the tiny TV screen in the corner.
Yeah.
You don't connect. And then when you do, it looks so shoddy and fake and old school. So that's a good place to start. The other thing is, I just feel like, again, there needs to be some more dinosaurs added in the attraction. The last time I wrote it, it just felt, I don't know.
Rickety.
It just felt rickety and extra dark in there for some reason. And I was like, there's so many places that you could have some cool dinosaurs.
See, one of my complaints is that I think it feels too bright. In the darker, in the portions that are supposed to be dark, it's like, and I know they're trying to focus your attention on the show scene, but if you just happen to look to your right, or, I mean, easily just look over to your right, it's like there's clearly a wall and, like, an escape door. And
I'll give you that. Yeah,
like a pipe.
But on the other hand, well, you had to have emergency exits back in prehistoric times. No, but I'm just saying there's a lot of empty space there. That's what I meant by dark.
Empty space. I know what you're saying.
Another little small dinosaur animatronic there, or something that kind of fills the space. I just feel like a good facelift from 1998 is needed because, you know, we definitely have come a long way as far
as our technology. Dinosaur is one of my top five attractions.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. But think
and
about
to think it could be plused. Yeah. I would just love for that pterodactyl to swoop down like it did in its first couple years.
That one, and then the one where they just, like, shine the lights on the progressive, you know, it's like three different figures, and it's like light, 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 and make it seem like it's moving. It's like, no. I'm not buying that.
We're not buying that.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right. You could make a great attraction even better with just a few pluses.
Environmental projection could go a long way. A few other animatronics, some upgraded lighting, certainly updated audio. I feel like it's not as loud as it used to be.
Huh.
Would you rather have Everest first or Dinosaur?
Oh, I'd rather them fix Everest first.
Me too. Okay. That's why it was on my list and Dinosaur wasn't.
I mean, neither are going to be happening anytime soon. No. So, you know.
2 years.
Yeah, although I will say Animal Kingdom is getting a lot of attention right now, so I can't necessarily blame them for waiting for Dinosaur and Expedition Everest. Yeah.
No, I think as long as the track runs and the car runs and everything seems to be doing decent, it's going to stay how it is for a time. But again, one day, hopefully in the near future, a nice upgrade on that would be fabulous.
Yeah. Okay, well, my number four was an attraction that, to be honest, I've gotten kind of tired of. But the Muppets are timeless. And I feel like they need a presence at Disney World. And I feel like Muppet Vision 3D is a good way to do that. It just needs, I mean, I'd be okay with an entirely new show that's maybe 10 minutes shorter than the current show, because I feel like it is too long. When you're waiting in that pre-show, oh my gosh, I just get so tired of standing there. Even though the pre-show is funny in and of itself, I still just want to get in there and sit down and enjoy the show I'm waiting for. And so I would love a top-to-bottom redo, but keep Muppets.
This almost made my list, but I'm going to tell you why I didn't. I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. And here's why. This is the last thing that Jim Henson's fingerprints are on. And it's almost in the same vein of like a Jungle Cruise or a Country Bear Jamboree that you can't tinker with it too much, because you're going to lose the authenticity of the master's touch. And that's the last thing you touch. That's like going over there to Italy, and even though Da Vinci has painted lots of things, you know, you're going to say, well, we're going to update, you know, the Mona Lisa. We're going to put her in a tube top, you know, because that's modern and current. You know, you just can't do that.
I totally disagree with that. The Muppets are Jim Henson's creation. So doing anything Muppet related is still paying homage to him. And I mean, we made new Muppet movies in the new century, and except for maybe the new one, people loved them, and they didn't think you were, you know, stepping on his toes. How dare you make another one when he made it perfect when he was alive?
No, I'm just saying that is true. But that's like saying, well, you got Frozen, so you can get rid of everything Walt did, you know, and touch.
I did not put this on my list because it would not hurt my feelings in the least bit if it was completely demolished to make way for a large expansion.
To be completely honest, I probably wouldn't be sad either, but I would be very happy if they completely redid it and it was a show I could enjoy. I would still be happy to see the Muppets because I've always loved the Muppets.
The Muppets are about ready to come back bigger than they did in 2011 with their new TV show. So hang
on. They've had several attempts at TV shows with the Muppets. Granted, this one's different, but they've had several attempts since the Muppet show itself, and all of them have flopped miserably.
I gotta say, loved Muppets Tonight when they revived that in the late 90s. Oh,
yes.
My gosh, I loved it.
I liked it too as a child, but it flopped.
No, but the problem with the Muppets Tonight, and listen, I loved it as well, but you didn't have the original characters in it. Like, Kermit was not your host. You had
Right, it was
Clifford,
Dreadlocks, you know. Dude. Yeah, Clifford.
Clifford, who's the same voice as Elmo, by the way, Kevin Clash. But anyways, by the way, they need to put that out on DVD. I would buy that.
Yeah.
But they're bringing back the Muppets and their new this new show. It's really reminiscent to that original Muppets Tonight, where it was geared not specifically towards children, or you know, but geared towards adults in a sense as well. So I'm hoping that brings some fresh life and perspective to them, long lasting life.
Okay. Well, so this wasn't on your list. I get it. What was on your list? What's your number three?
Oh yeah, Matt, was your number four was Dinosaur, wasn't it?
Yep.
My number three is, and you're probably going to disagree with me on this as well, but that's okay, because I think that this has a place. I just think it needs to be upgraded, and that is the Indiana Jones stunt show at Hollywood Studios. It's been the exact same show for the last however many years. 1989, do the math. So But Indiana Jones is still popular enough to have an attraction. And if we can't have a ride, at least a stunt. And a stunt show is still something.
But that would be my argument. Why can't you have a ride?
Well, okay. If you're going to demolish it, put a ride. I'll give you that. But my point is, that kind of a stunt show, people still enjoy. Because that kind of stunt show, I feel like there are ways and just little tips they could do to make it more repeatable. Does that make sense? Whereas, like, the car stunt show is the exact same thing, and it's boring. This, you know, it has some entertainment value to it that's there, but you could do little things to make it where people... It's a fresh show every time.
I want it gone.
Yeah, I'm tired of that show. I mean, you're justified in thinking that. I just... That's not...
And I think, too, you know, again, it goes back to what I said about Dinosaur. As far as... stunt work has changed so much in the last 30 years simply due to CGI, that kind of stuff. So you really could input a lot of that stuff in it as well.
If they keep that whole thing, that's in line with the whole studios thing, which I hope they're leaving behind.
I just think that kind of stuff is still... it has a draw. People are still interested. Like, I still think the Backlot Tour... maybe it shouldn't have stayed there, but it still had a possibility as far as people still like that kind of stuff. They like seeing movie props. They like seeing behind-the-scenes stuff. That's why when you buy a movie, there's, you know, 47 discs that come along with it of bonus features of all the behind-the-scenes stuff because people like that kind of thing. So I still think there's a market for that, you know, kind of show. But okay. You just have to make it where it has some repeatability to it. Make it a little... fluctuate the jokes a little bit. Make it a little fresh each time.
All right. I personally would love to see an Indiana Jones attraction in place of it, but I see your points.
Why not bring an 80s show into the 90s?
I'm not saying 90s. I'm saying you could... and especially if they redo... if they are going to make a new... or if they're going to reboot the series, the franchise, with Chris Pratt, which seems to be... a rumor that's floating around. There you go. Bring in a Chris Pratt stunt double and do some stunts. Or not. Judging by the awkward silence.
No, I'm just waiting for Matt to give his number three.
My number three is going to be controversial and blasphemous, probably. But it's one of my favorite attractions.
You want to tear down the castle.
In 2 days.
Pirates.
No, I don't want... yeah, right. Pirates need some help, but it's more structural than anything. I personally think Jungle Cruise could benefit from a massive multi-month refurb. And we're talking about story changes, possibly extra scenes, special effects... in the tunnel, you know, I'm thinking updated animatronics on a few things where you still keep that campy Jungle Cruise feel, the kitschiness that made it what it is, and obviously a Walt Disney original at Disneyland, at least. But you update it. Even Disneyland has updated it, and that was the original. You know, even they have updated and brought some changes to it, not significant ones, but I think it could benefit.
Yeah, those piranhas took me by surprise when we saw those. It's like... in the water.
It feels, you know, charming is the word we like to use. It feels old. It feels, you know, when people are there, you kind of see them looking around like, oh, this is a snake.
I definitely gave you those looks the first time you put me on it.
Yeah.
I definitely think that the audio systems in each of the boats needs to be updated because sometimes it's nearly impossible to hear and understand the guide.
Yeah.
On that note, I saw some tweets just 2 weeks ago from at least three people who said Jungle Cruise sounds better than it ever has before. So they might have done that since you've been.
Maybe.
Oh, good. Because I haven't ridden it since, I think, Christmas. But then also, I do agree, update the cave. There's so much you could do in that cave that it's so wasted.
The temple. I called it a cave.
Temple, whatever it is. Temple. And again, I was under the impression until we went to Disneyland that there was a temple in the original attraction, which there's not. So to me, it's unsacred ground, you know. It's not like, oh, we can't touch the temple. No pun intended there. But it's like, we can't touch the temple because that was part of the original. No, that's a Walt Disney World add-on. So do something
all
cool
the scenes, for the most part, stay the same. All the, you know, the standard, like the big elephant, the Indian elephants at the end, the scene with the campers, the Savannah scene, all that stays the same. You might make just minor upgrades that freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Definitely, okay. Yeah. Well, my number three was Ellen's Energy Adventure, so I guess we're on number two now.
Number two. My number two goes back to Future World and Epcot, and that is I want to upgrade the seas with Nemo's and friends.
More Nemo's.
With Nemo and friends. I like Finding Nemo the musical. I have not ridden the subs out at Disneyland with Nemo, but I like them from the videos that I've seen. I do not like the seas with Nemo and friends. I think it's just not well done. The last time I was there, the best scene, well, the last several times I've been there, the best scene has not been working, and that is where where Dory and Marlin are under in the black part of the ocean, and there's the fish.
Oh, that was chases working them. The last time I did it, and I was surprised that it was.
Okay, well, I've spread it at least twice where it has not been working. Again, it almost treads into Universal territory, where you have a lot of screen
usage. It's worse
usage.
Than Universal territory. It's like riding through like some hippy-dippy church's children's building.
I could see that.
Like they had all these little props made under the sea with Jesus, you know. Whatever.
Show me that church, please.
Like you're riding through a room with like coral props. The lighting is just it's like what the Little Mermaid suffered from until the recent black lighting upgrades.
Yeah, I could see that definitely. You know, like so, there's definitely a lot of screen usage that is not necessary. The only thing that I think is really kind of cool about the ride is I do like how they project the animated characters into the actual tank.
Oh, that's the best part of the whole ride.
But even that is lost on a lot of people because there's a lack of fish in the actual tanks. Mm-hmm. So people don't quite understand. You know, if you're there at the wrong time or if the fish are somewhere else in the tank, it's like you miss that cool effect of seeing the animated fish with the real fish. So there's just a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. I would even be okay with removing Nemo totally out of this.
Yes.
And
see, I almost put the Living Seas on mine, or the Seas with Nemo and Friends on mine. But then I thought what I would want to do is not a revamp of the Seas with Nemo and Friends. I would want can you imagine what kind of craziness would conspire in the Disney universe if they brought back not the original attraction, but just the Living Seas.
Yeah.
And that feel, that ominous, mysterious ocean feel. People, I would love that. So that's why I didn't put it on here. I don't want it fixed. I want it gone.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, you can keep Turtle Talk with Crush. I think that's fine. You know, you can keep that there.
It's cutesy.
It's cute.
I think mostly the Nemo ride needs a longer queue. It's just...
You
a mile is not long enough.
Literally walk a mile. And it's amazing.
What were they thinking this ride would be?
Yeah, it's like they're expecting, you know, this to be a 3-hour wait if that thing was full. I've never been there where there has been a line.
The thing is, they didn't change any of the structure from the Living Seas. Yeah, so what you're waiting in as the queue now was pre-show number one, theater, where you sat down and watched the movie, the little entrance to Seabase Alpha, the Hydrolators. All that's encompassed in the current queue.
Yeah, I think you could. I like Matt, even though it's not technically a refurb. I like Matt's idea of taking this, restoring this back to an original attraction, and that I think that would still draw people in just fine. But but it suffered from this idea at Epcot, and I'm not totally an Epcot purist where there shouldn't be any characters, but it definitely got caught up in that. We need to attract children, so how can we attract children? Oh, and kids like Nemo, we got an ocean, put Nemo in there. So, there you go.
Number two on my list is an attraction that actually is sort of getting a refurb already, but I still think it could use more, and that is Soarin'. It is getting the third screen, And I believe the one in Disney World is getting digital upgrades like the one in Disneyland just got, right?
I should hope so.
Okay. But are the screens staying the same? Because the screens are part of the problem, too. Like, you see scratches and tears and...
Well, I think that's in the film.
You think?
Oh, yeah, you know, on the screen itself, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the screens are too small.
Yeah, because you can see
the top. That would be, like, massive overlay. Yeah, but it's like...
But it's a refurb. It's a refurb, and they could use that. And I know we've talked about this before, but they could use a new video. I mean, the fact that they stole the video from Soarin' Over California, and
I think
they said
supposed to be happening, right?
Well, Disney hasn't officially announced it. I think most people assume that that's the next step since they're adding a new theater. Like, why wouldn't you go ahead and change the movie while you're at it? But it's never been an official announcement from Disney that that's happening.
I mean, I like the movie as it is. If they would just clean it up and you know, do some things.
I'm okay with the movie, but the thing with an attraction like that, when you have a movie, I guess filming it takes a really long time because you have to use special cameras and stuff. But that's a movie would be the easiest thing to change. I mean, when you compare it to like animatronics or, you know, whole sets.
But what are you going to do? Soaring over Florida? I mean, Florida doesn't have that many exciting...
Oh, no. The whole idea...
Jeremy, you
and
have
I
the
think...
entire world to choose from.
Well, that's true, but I mean...
I think they're doing that. The rumors have been that they're certainly filming for a new Soarin'.
Right, the one in Shanghai.
Yeah, and people are saying it's just for Shanghai, but I can't see them bypassing the opportunity to quickly and cheaply upgrade, along with that one, the film here at these two parks as well.
I hope so.
And it will be as like Soarin' Over the World, I think. Just the, you know.
As long as they keep Kronk, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, even if they do all that stuff, that's still a refurb, which is what I'm saying it needs. So, two thumbs up if those are the plans.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Drum roll, please. Our number one attraction that is most in need of refurbishment.
Number one.
I think we all have the same one.
Really?
I think at least me and Matt have the same one, I'm pretty sure. If I had money, I'd...
Let's say it at the same time. On three.
One, two, three. Journey into
imagination.
Oh. No.
You don't have that one.
Because I want it to go away completely.
Oh, no.
Well, Derek, that I would have guessed. Your Donald Duck shirt, I would not have guessed, but that I would have guessed. So, there we go. No, Journey to Imagination, again, it's a classic. You can't get rid of it. Restore it back to its old glory. Refurb it back.
I want Dreamfinder. I want Dreamfinder. I don't care if they redo the whole... I'm talking about gutting the Magic Eye Theater, gutting the whole thing and making one big e-ticket sensory experience with... remodel the Dreamfinder to the one that they did in the comic books, the steampunk kind of feel to everything. I don't mind even that because it pays tribute to the old thing. I wouldn't want to change. It'd just be so fitting to keep it the same name, same character, same feel, but completely different, wonderful attraction.
And wouldn't it be wonderful if at some point they have like an animatronic of Eric Idle, like hands bound and tied up in the corner, like. You know, like, everybody just ignore him and keep going.
Hey, no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah. Okay, bring back the Dreamfinder and I'm on board. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, really max out the five senses. I mean, like, play it up. You know, 3D smells, auditory stuff, all the technology that they could use to make that like a sensory overload experience.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I would love that. I would love that. So yeah, so this is like a total redo, pretty much, just keeping the core and essence of the attraction.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think back to the first time I wrote it, and now that I know more about it, and I know the history of Dreamfinder and Figment, I can appreciate those characters. But Jeremy, you cannot tell me that when you rode that attraction, you thought, this just needs a little bit of touching up. Like, this is a good attraction.
No, you're right. Now, it has grown on me as I've ridden it, as far as some of the things in there. You know, like, the first time we rode it, I hated it. I was like, what is
exactly this?
Some of the stuff, you know, the songs kind of grown on me. You know, even the little Eric Idle humor has kind of grown on me. I know, maybe I shouldn't say that. People would judge me. But yeah, I think just restoring it back, you know, it has that kind of feel like the Tiki Room. Remember when they like announced that it was going back to the way it was and how excited everybody was? I think get that same feel.
I think if you kept the same story and you went to the, you know, you saw the dream catcher thing and it was a dream finder, reimagined dream finder. You got to travel with him and Figment to find, collect all these things from the imagination universe. And it was just completely state-of-the-art e-ticket style attraction.
It would be really cool if it were a trackless ride, kind of like Mystic Manor. Because Mystic Manor have that monkey, or is that Phantom?
No, that's it.
Okay,
that's
Mystic Manor has a little monkey, so Figment could kind of replace that and you collect all the senses or whatever.
And I like it does have, and a lot of people don't appreciate it, but it is pretty good. When you go to that last final scene and there's you're in the screen, you know, the screens are right there, and then all of a sudden it goes black and the screens drop and it opens that whole room. Now that is a pretty cool reveal, and if you've never ridden it before, I've ridden it with first timers where they're like, whoa, you know, you don't expect that. Yeah. You know, so that's kind of cool. You could keep that kind of a thing, but anyways.
Okay. You've got me on board. You've sold me. My number one.
Imagination.
Oh my.
And you lost me again. My number one is something we talked about at length earlier in the show, and I'm surprised this wasn't on your list, but mine is The Great Movie Ride. I know it's gotten some things, but I really think the pre-show and the finale montage were the least of that ride's problems. The cast member needs to go completely. I would be totally fine with that. And I think part of this is because I love movies, and so I see the potential that this attraction could be. Even some of the animatronics could stay. You just, well, I'm about to be completely, it's about to be an oxymoron of what I just said, but I was going to say they could stay, but they just need to go. But I mean, like, the movies themselves could stay, and the idea of, like, the two people by the plane, that could stay, but the animatronics themselves look so old. Yes.
Yeah,
there's like so many scenes, like the alien scene. I know Alien is sort of still relevant, but as far as that scene being in that attraction, it's totally irrelevant. As far as it being among the greats like Casablanca and The Wizard of Oz, no, I'm sorry.
It didn't make my list simply because it's starting to get refurbed, and we did a big show on it, you know, not too long ago. So
yeah, I avoided it.
All right. Well, in my opinion,
I can live with it.
In my opinion, it is the thing I would be most excited to see if they said, we've completely redone it, everything's new, some of the movies are the same, but all the animatronics are new, and it's really going to celebrate movies in 2015, what we know as classic movies. I would be first in line at rope drop.
Like Fast and Furious 7.
Fast and Furious 7.
San Andreas.
Hey, it's coming.
Hey, I don't want to live in a world where The Rock is considered a box office draw. I'm just throwing that out there.
All right.
The Scorpion King.
Well, none of those would make my ideal great movie ride. And you can go back to you can go back to episode, hold on, I'm going to look at it right now. It was episode 11. Yes, episode 11, we discussed in length what we'd like to see go in that attraction. And I personally would like to see all those changes happen immediately. So that's my number one.
I don't want to brag, but my list was pretty cool. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, your great movie ride list. I think you meant your top five. I was like, I mean, it was okay.
Oh, well, every list of mine is pretty good, but
it's true. We can't deny it. Did you guys have any honorable mentions that just missed your list?
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm thinking namely of just that last scene. Towards the end there, the rocks were beginning to not wobble as much. But now they don't do anything, and you can look up and clearly see a drop ceiling.
Oh, and no. the finale scene there in the cave of Disneyland with that effect that looks like the fire and the explosions, so cool. It'd be so easy to bring that here.
It has projections of, like, at the bottom of the hill, it lights the fuse. And as you're going up the hill, all along the wall, you see the fuse, like, get closer and closer to the dynamite and, like, spark and flash. And then it blows up right above your head as you go over the hill. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But the smoke that blows out is projected to look like fire. And so it really, like, the first time we rode, I was like, whoa, hey, that's fire. But it's just it's smoke. Intense.
I like the original spiel of the attraction more than I do the current one, which it really just lacks a spiel now. The original thing was, you know, it's this ghost train, this runaway, spooked mine train. It's got this mystery to it. In the late 90s, when they refurbed it and put the little town scene in with the flooded thing, it took on kind of just like a zany, kooky kind of feel. I think they returned to like that, like a, almost like Ghost Rider kind of thing, and made it maybe a little spooky.
Had Nicolas Cage that Ghost Rider?
Oh my goodness, yes, no.
Just refurb to National Treasure. That's what you need.
Stop!
There.
Do not so give them ideas.
The mountain's going to be Mount Rushmore now.
I think a spooked spooked ghost train through. I think that would go over well.
Okay.
An honorable mention on my list was PhilharMagic. I'd like to see that refurbed.
Yeah. I'd like to see that go.
No. See, I love that attraction.
You have to have a medley of Disney songs. Like, that's just a rule in my book. A medley of Disney songs because
Jeremy, if you redid that attraction, wonderful. It'd be a princess medley. Come on.
I mean,
we know you're a sucker for a good princess medley.
I love a good princess medley. But any Disney songs, I mean, you got to have some kind of a medley of that.
Gotta
because
have
it reminds me, and it reminds me of, again, it takes me back, and there's a nostalgia level of those Disney sing-along VHS films you used to watch, and how that almost felt like one giant medley because you'd sing along to the song and then you'd pop right into the next song. So you got to have something there that is musically Disney. But
I'll give it to you. The idea needs to go. The whole concert hall weirdness thing.
No.
It doesn't need Frozen though. No, Let It Go.
Well, it's going to get like Frozen that, if it gets.
If it gets refurbed, it's getting Frozen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People Mover almost made my list. I love the People Mover, but I could see them doing something with just so many dark scenes, you know? Just give you something to look at. I don't know. That's the Imagineer's job, but anyway. But it did make my list because I do love it as it is. But anyway. All right. Well, that was another fun top five list. I'm sure we'll have another one in several episodes. But for now, I'm going to sign off and say go follow us on Twitter at Mad Chatters. Like us on Facebook. Please leave a review on iTunes if you have not done so. We really appreciate those. And that's that. So we'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.